Let's pray together. Our Father, now as we hear from your word once again, and as I preach, we pray that you would help us. We thank you for your word that clarifies matters in our lives, that gives us the information that we need. As we turn to the book of Proverbs and consider the subject of wisdom once again, we pray that you would work in our hearts. And may we have a hear ye, thus says the Lord kind of moment today. And would you give us the grace to apply it, because this is your word. It is from you, the only wise Lord and God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It is a great joy to be able to bring God's word to you this morning. I'm grateful to the Lord for the opportunity, and I appreciate Pastor Donald giving me the invitation to preach this morning. So I invite you to open your copies of the Lord's perfect, inerrant, authoritative word to Proverbs chapter 9. You can also find this passage on page 533 in the Bibles under the racks in the seats in front of you. If you don't have a copy of God's Word, we here at Abner Creek would love for you to take that copy to read and to cherish. Proverbs 9 speaks to us about wisdom's offer of life and folly's allurement to the grave. As we prepare to read Proverbs 9, I want to make a note about something that you'll want to keep in mind. Proverbs 9 serves as the conclusion to the introduction to the book of Proverbs. Solomon spent 8 chapters introducing the subject of wisdom, communicating as a father to a son, calling out to the son to listen to what he has to say, to pay attention to his words, and to listen to the teaching of his mother. And now, just before Solomon launches off to give a number of points and pieces of information regarding how to live a wise life in a world that's gone bad, he takes one more moment to shock our souls and give us a burden to want what he's about to say. He does so by giving us a great picture of what wisdom has to offer and the blessedness of heeding wisdom's call. And also to help us understand the horrific results of following folly's allurement. So with that in mind, let's read Proverbs 9. Starting in verse 1, wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her 7 pillars. She has slaughtered her beasts. She has mixed her wine. She has set her table. She has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. Whoever whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse. And he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years will be added to your life. If you're wise, you're wise for yourself. If you scoff, you alone will bear it. The woman folly is loud. She is seductive and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat on the highest places of the town, calling to those who pass by, who are going straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And to him who lacks sense, she says, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol. A couple of nights ago, my son Levi and my father and I had dinner at one of our favorite places. The dinner was great, our bellies were full, and we made our way back to my parents' house. At some point, the television was turned on, and quickly I noticed an advertisement for cereal. And I'm amazed at how delicious advertisement producers can make a bowl of Frosted Flakes look. And the berries out of Special K virtually popped out of the screen and squished in my mouth with all of their sweetness. And that milk, even to a guy who doesn't like milk, thought, that looks pretty good. It's interesting how advertisements really can sort of work at you to believe that you need what is there. Well, the reality is, the passage before us does present something to us that we truly do need. It also presents to us the way that the world works, trying to lead us to think that we need things while in reality, we don't. Not only Proverbs, but the Bible overall emphasizes how we naturally lack the wisdom that we need. And the Bible makes known how the Lord offers the wisdom in life that we need. And it is for us to take. The Bible also is very clear about the ups and downs in life, right? The high times and the hard times. And it gives us the information that we need to navigate all of those times. Even thinking about what Pastor Donald so helpfully led us to think about last week regarding a matter in the life of the church, maintaining unity. It really does take the wisdom of God to apply such information, does it not? And of course, there is the gospel, the grand manifestation of the wisdom of God, the good news of Jesus Christ. If the Lord didn't provide that, no one would be saved no one would be able to navigate life in our world that's gone so wrong. So what do we find here in the conclusion of the introduction to the book of Proverbs that will help us? Well, there are three application points that I want to give you very quickly, or attempt to be very quick, as we go along and consider what these verses say in Proverbs 9. Number one, application point. We need to respond positively to wisdom's offer. We need to respond positively to wisdom's offer. As I've already said, this passage presents to us wisdom's offer of life. And it also tells us about folly's allurement to the grave. Well, if we don't want to follow folly's allurement to the grave, we need to hear what this passage says about wisdom's offer so that we would respond rightly to it. Well, what is wisdom offering? What does the Lord offer us through what this passage is calling wisdom? Well, there are three things. Number one, there's a house presented to us. There's also a feast presented to us. And there's also a call that is presented to us. Verses 1-6 speak to us in great imagery and illustrative language to capture our hearts. So, what is this house of wisdom and who built it? Verse 1 says, wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. The Bible here personifies wisdom as a lady. And this lady has built her house. This is to cause us to think there are a lot of other houses out there in the world that have been built. But there's this one. And there's this lady that's built it, and she has hewn her seven pillars. What we are supposed to conclude is that this house is the house to which you need an invitation. You should want an invitation there, and you should want to respond positively. This house, I believe, which is indicated to us by the idea of seven pillars, is one that is right, it is complete, it is perfect, it is safe, it is secure. It is the house to which you need to run. There's not just a house, but there's a feast. Notice verse 2. She has slaughtered, that is the lady that built her house, she also has slaughtered her beasts. She has mixed her wine. She has set her table. Try to put yourself back in the ancient days in this culture when they didn't have stores on every corner to which you could go to purchase whatever wonderful, delightful, refreshing beverage your heart desires. There was no Dr. Pepper. There was no Sprite. There was no Cheerwine. There was no root beer. There was no Nestea. I mean, we could go on and on and on, right? No, there was mixed wine. The idea here is that this was a good thing to have at the table. We don't have time to go there and talk about wine and alcoholic beverages and all that. We just don't have time, okay? That's not where you should go and do anything other. You should say, the implication is, this is a good thing at this table, at this house where you're invited. There weren't Burger Kings or Five Guys where you get a big, fat, juicy, beefy burger. There wasn't Subway or I can't remember the other, I was going to say Five Guys again, but hey, you get the point. There were places to get sandwiches with meat piled high. The point here in this verse is that beasts had been slaughtered. There was a meal prepared, and there was a table that was set. This is where you want to be. This is the way that the wisdom of the Lord is. Also, there's the call. Notice verse 3. She has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in town. And here's the call. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says some things. We should take away from this that we all are the simple. We all lack sense from day one of life. The natural man, the natural woman lacks sense. We are the simple. And so to us, wisdom calls, come, verse 5, eat of my bread. We get an invitation. We get a call to this. This great, wonderful bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. And here is the clear communication from all of this imagery. Leave your simple ways and what? Live. There's the point. There's a way that leads to death. And there's a way that leads to life. And here's how you get there. Listen, follow my voice. You want to live? You turn, you leave your simple ways and walk in the way of insight. What does wisdom offer? Wisdom offers life. Safe and secure and satisfying. And that is an offer to which we need to respond positively. So how do you know if you've responded to this offer? What does it look like in the life of a person that has responded to wisdom's offer? What does it look like in a person's life that has turned to go to wisdom's house? What does it look like in a person's life to sit at wisdom's table, to eat wisdom's food, to drink wisdom's wine, to leave simple ways, to walk in the way of insight? Well, application point number 2. We need to receive meekly wisdom's instruction. Not only can we say and think about responding positively to wisdom's call, but to clarify matters even more, we need to say, are we receiving meekly wisdom's instruction? If you can conclude that you are one that is, let me say it this way, by God's grace, striving to receive, let me say it this way, to receive his word. Like honestly, if that is you, that's one little piece of evidence that helps you say, you know what? I must have and am responding positively to wisdom's offer. Well, what is this instruction? There's a whole lot of instruction to come in the book of Proverbs, but initially, Solomon gives us a little bit of instruction to clarify more about what he just said in verses 1-6. This instruction has a little bit to do with various responses to wisdom, to instruction, to reproof. Notice, first of all, how this passage describes how, what this passage describes as scoffers, as the wicked man responds to wisdom. Notice verses 7-8. Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Verse 8, do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. So Solomon gives some instruction. That instruction is this: whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse. Whoever reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Don't reprove a scoffer or he will hate you. But within that instruction, he gives us some information to understand about how one group of people in the world receive wisdom's instruction. What is that group of people? How are they described? They're described here as the scoffer or the wicked. The word scoffer is used to refer to someone that would mock and ridicule, we can say it this way, people that offer what Scripture says and teaches. The words wicked man refer to one that, as one writer put it, against God. These words together refer to a person that is not righteous in God's sight. To say it another way, it's a person that has not been born again. This is a person that is spiritually lost. This is a person, to put it as Ephesians says, is dead in trespasses and sins. This person is not meek regarding the Lord's reproof, correction, instruction. The reality is, this is the way that the world is it not? Yes, the world hears the message of the cross, for example, which the New Testament calls the wisdom of God. The word of the cross is the wisdom of God, right? But to the world, it is what? Anybody know? Foolishness, folly. The gospel does bring a corrective to our souls, does it not? Yes, the gospel says, listen, basically, God is awesome exactly as his word says. And you are going down a path to the grave, to death, to hell and destruction. You must hear about how Christ has come and given his life on the cross after living a perfect life. And then, after being buried, he rose from the grave. You must receive him. Isn't that a corrective? Yes. Receive Christ and live. The world overall says what? That is foolishness. And then we could go on from there and say, regarding other matters in more detail that the Bible says about life in a world gone bad, the world will say is foolish. So the scoffer scoffs. As this passage describes, the wicked continue in wickedness, would even cause injury to those bringing God's instruction and wisdom. We also see how another group responds to the Lord's wisdom. They receive it with meekness. Notice the second part of verse 8. Reprove a wise man and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man and he will increase in learning. You hear the description of this group of people? The wise, the righteous. Now, to attempt to be crystal clear, anyone in this group, the righteous or the wise, we understand that is ultimately all of God's grace, right? You're only in that situation because the Lord has been so gracious to you, right? The Lord has worked in your heart through the instrument of his word, by the power of the Holy Spirit, right? You were born again. You were brought forth by the word of truth. And so, for an individual that is striving to receive meekly Lady Wisdom's instruction, they are those that would love the person that brings it. They are those that would grow to be wiser. They are those that would increase in learning. And so I ask you this, on which way are you going today? the way of wisdom or the way of folly? How can you have a little bit of evidence to know where you're at? Do you meekly receive the word? James, the New Testament's book of wisdom, says what? Receive with meekness the implanted word. This passage goes on and it talks a little bit more, giving a little more instruction that we should want to receive about the way to wisdom. Notice verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. Does that sound familiar? It's because Solomon already made the point earlier. Now at the conclusion of the introduction, he comes back and he's saying, listen, I'm telling you, the fear of the Lord is the beginning. You want what you need to navigate a life in a world gone bad? It starts right here, the fear of God. You want insight for the path on which the Lord has placed you? You got to have insight. What is that? It is knowledge of the Holy One. That's the only way you're going to make it. What is the fear of the Lord? I love the way that Pastor Donald put it several weeks ago. I quote him regarding the fear of the Lord. He said, the fear of God is the awareness of God's holy presence that affects the attitude and actions of how you live your life. That's pretty good, isn't it? The awareness of God's holy presence. And by the way, do you understand that biblically the fear of God for you, Christian, deviating from my notes here, let me say this for you, Christian, you understand this is not related to you fearing an iron fist coming from heaven to hurt you, right? In other words, you're not to say, oh, I'm afraid of that happening to me as a Christian. No. I've always said this, I'll say it again. Every drop of the wrath of God for your sin was poured out on Christ on the cross. If every drop was poured out on Him, and you are in Him, and you're seen as righteous in God's sight, there cannot be any more wrath of God for you. The Bible notes that God, let me say it this way, truly loves you. But because all that's true doesn't mean that you don't have a fear of God. No, you got to understand biblically what is the fear of God for you, Christian. And veering from my notes a little more, let me say this. Friends in the room that are not Christians, do you understand that if you continue down that path, which is not the path of wisdom, it is the way of folly, there is a day of judgment that is coming. I'm getting ahead of myself. And you will bear the wrath of God on that day, right? Turn to Christ now and live. Let me say this very quickly, very quickly. I'm running out of time and I got a lot to say. Oh my goodness. Speaking of life, verse 11, there's a promise. For by me your days will be multiplied. Lady Wisdom is saying, you listen to me, you come to my house, you eat at my table, your days will be multiplied. You get more, years will be added to your life. If you're wise, you are wise for yourself. Make this personal, hearer. In other words, you should conclude, you are wise for yourself. If you scoff, you alone will bear it. Years added to your life. Days being multiplied. Think about our culture right now. Y'all, I don't think this is unique to us. I think it's always been this way in cultures, but just think about our culture. We are crazed, are we not? We are crazed with trying to add time to our lives.
Think about all of the exercise that we do. And I'm not busting on exercise. Do your exercise. But I mean, like, you're not going to add anything to your life by exercising, really, are you? No. I'm probably getting myself in hot water here. They do your exercise, follow doctor's orders, but we are idolatrous regarding anything that would cause us to believe, I just got more time, right? Think about all the medications. Take this pill to help with that. Take that pill to help with this. You may have upset stomach and nausea and a headache and pass out and die, but you'll get more time. And again, I'm not saying don't follow doctor's orders and take medications that are truly right for you, but you get my point, right? There are even medicines that are now advertised to, how do I say this? They are targeted toward individuals that are living a lifestyle that is against, I'm trying to say this in a sensitive way. Do y'all know where I'm going? Have you seen this commercial? Take this pill and you go on to the house of folly and you're going to get more time because you might not get the disease that it's associated that is associated with the house of folly. You want more time? You want your days multiplied? You want years added to your life? It's found right. Sorry, I'm hitting the. It's found right here. It's manifested supremely in what we call the gospel. Through the gospel, though you die, yet you what? Live. That's the only way. By the way, you can continue down a path of folly, very practically speaking. Make it hard on yourself. Silly example. Don't text and drive. It's not wise. Right? But even more profound, we have so much information in God's word that helps us in this life. And to make it all the way to the great feast that will be experienced for those who are in Christ. This is why I love the song by the Gettys. The words say this: unto the grave, what will we sing? Christ, he lives. Christ, he lives. And what reward will heaven bring? Everlasting life with him. There we will rise to meet the Lord. Then sin and death will be destroyed, and we will feast in endless joy when Christ is ours forevermore. Turn in to Lady Wisdom's house. Well, very quickly, let me just note a little bit of information about Woman Folly. Because there's another person out there that is trying to take you somewhere, and she is trying to allure you to the grave. And the point I put with this is this: resist fiercely Folly's allurement. Respond positively to Wisdom's offer. Receive meekly Wisdom's instruction and resist fiercely Folly's allurement. Listen, verse 13. The woman Folly is loud. She is seductive and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat on the highest places of the town. Put yourself back in the ancient days, going through an ancient city, going on your way, doing what you should be doing, and you pass by house after house, and there's so-and-so's house, and so-and-so's house, and so-and-so's house, and then there's that one house. And there, Woman Folly resides. And she is offering smooth words to lure you in and believe that what she offers is soothing and satisfying. She doesn't only sit at her house, but she makes her way to the highest places. She tries to get right there next to those that Lady Wisdom has sent out and drowned out the words that they are saying. While they're saying, come to the great feast and live, she's saying, come over here. But what she's saying is this. Stolen water really is sweet. You ought to try it. This is fun. Bread eaten in secret is so tasty. I think very precisely that language speaks to what Solomon has already introduced earlier in Proverbs, which is a life given over to sexual sin and a life given over to just whatever is against God. Folly is trying to get you to believe that. Folly says, just check it out. Just take a bite. Just go inside. Just use the touchpad on the laptop and click right there to find what it is that you think you want. Just have her in the office. Just admit that he's a nice and sweet man and hear what he has to say a little more. Just cover over the money thing just a little bit more. Just don't say it that way. Say it this way and hide the truth. And on and on and on we could go, right? So how do we resist? Well, I believe that it has to do with knowing what the Lord says here in this passage and obviously in other sections of his word. Very precisely, notice what the Lord says in verse 18. About the person that is not striving to resist fiercely folly's allurement. Verse 18, but he does not know that the dead are there and that her guests are in the depths of Sheol. Do you hear that? Those that are hanging out in folly's house are those that are dead. Those that live their lives forever in folly's house are, let me say it this way, spiritually dead. And the person that is going on his way and hears this offer from wisdom and this allurement from folly and goes to folly and just spends the remainder of his days there is in the house of the dead. And as Proverbs says, the grave. To use the New Testament to shed some light on this type of language, think about the way that the Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians describes how we Christians, or rather what we Christians were before we were made alive. Have you thought about this? One of my favorite passages in Scripture. Paul said this, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you walked. You hear that? Dead. I love the way Alex Enriquez last Sunday when he shared his testimony noted this passage. Evidently, the Lord brought you to a place where, to use biblical language, he made you alive. You came to the conclusion that you were in the house of the dead. That's the way it is. Those in the house of the dead don't know that they're dead until the Lord word comes in and shines the light and the Spirit works and brings life. This is awesome. This is why we ought to say, as Paul says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Amen. He made us alive. God being rich in mercy, verse 4 of Ephesians 2 says, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. So Christians, as I close, I pray maybe you're just encouraged and further affirmed in your walk with Christ. You've heard these things and you're given a little more evidence to say, I guess I'm in Christ. Praise God. For Christians in the room that maybe have been a little bit struggling lately, maybe you've heard something that says, okay, that's it, I know. Oh, Lord, help me. Help me to understand more about you, to continue to follow you. Friends in the room that are not trusting in Christ, listen, I can't make you alive, and you can't make you alive, but I can tell you what you should do. You should turn and run into Lady Wisdom's house. You should receive Christ, you should trust Christ, and you will live. You will be on the way of wisdom, and you won't finally end up with all that are in the house of the dead that have had only stolen water rather than wonderful mixed wine, and have had only crusty, stale, secret bread rather than slaughtered beasts. Respond positively to wisdom's offer, receive meekly wisdom's instruction, and resist fiercely folly's allurement. I can't really give you an advertisement any better than the information that the Lord has given in this passage. The house is built, the meal is prepared, the table is set. Come in, stay there, and live. The belly of your soul will be full, the company will be great, and your end will be the delight of your life. It will be, as Paul said, to die is gain. Because there you will be with your Lord, God, Master, and Savior, and you will end in the new heavens and the new earth in endless joy, never to hear from woman folly again, and never again to be negatively affected by her allurement. Run to the house of wisdom. Let's pray. Father, help us to do just as we have thought about today. Thank you for another portion of your word that puts things in such a way that it burdens our heart to want what it is that you present to us in your word. We thank you. We love you. Thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness, that even as we were assured of earlier, even in our failures this past week, as Christians, we are assured in Christ that we have a home with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.